So a couple years ago, when I was preparing to come here to this fellowship for my week-long interview with the entire congregation, no pressure, your search committee published a picture of me along with a short biography. And in that bio statement, I said that I consider myself a UU evangelist. And of all the questions that I got that week, most people were curious, confused, or worried about that descriptor that I used for myself. Now, evangelism is a distinctly Christian word. It comes from Koine Greek, the language that was used in the original text of the Christian scriptures, and it translates to mean something like message of good news. Evangelists are the messengers, the bringers of the good news. And in Christian context, of course, the good news involves Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, and teachings. But notice that I said that I'm a UU evangelist, not specifically a Christian one. And remember that Unitarian Universalism emerged in the 1950s and 60s out of two Christian denominations, Unitarianism, which was the belief in the unity of God rather than the Trinity of God, and Universalism, the belief that God is so loving that no one is damned to hell and everyone is eventually saved. So Unitarianism and Universalism were our historical roots, and we emerged out of them, and we are no longer a Christian denomination. But because our history is rooted in Christianity, we still find ourselves using words, concepts, and forms that come to us from our heritage. Now, I'm not the word police. I don't really care if you choose to use this word or a different one. But what I want to talk about today is our Unitarian Universalist habit of, as Andrew says, hiding our light. We are afraid, often, to share the good news of our religious tradition and our fellowship home. We don't want to offend. We don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. So we just don't talk about it at all. And I want us to explore today, whether we end up using these words or not, the difference between evangelism and proselytizing, and why we should get better at one and continue to stay away from the other. So, a story for all of you. When I was in college, I was, like many people, finding myself. I had joined a fundamentalist Christian group on campus, as well as a fundamentalist Christian sorority. I had become a pretty devout Christian in my middle school and high school years, even though I continued to have nagging questions about the teachings. My parents, themselves pretty liberal, not particularly religious, were honestly probably totally freaked out by my religious leanings, but they were very supportive. They attended my baptism, my induction into the Christian sorority. I loved a lot about these groups. I loved the singing. I loved the community and the support that we offered each other, the commitment to something larger than myself, the emphasis on service to other people. But it was about my junior year of college that I had also been battling an eating disorder. I was doing all right with the help of family, friends, and medical professionals, but still, it was a battle. And one night I was at Bible study, and this young man was preaching and started talking about how girls with eating disorders were selfish. He said that they were not God-centered. They were self-centered. And I was sitting there in this Bible study, and I couldn't believe my ears. It was like being slapped in the face. I had had lingering doubts about a lot of what I had been hearing in those groups, but this was the final straw. I just couldn't believe in a God that was anything but supportive of those of us who were suffering in any number of ways. And so, as you have probably heard me share, I stumbled upon an online quiz on beliefnet.com. And the quiz told me that I was 100% Unitarian Universalist. I had no idea what that meant. But I went the following Sunday to the nearest UU church to my university. It was maybe a mile away. It was the First Unitarian Society of Dallas, a UU congregation that has existed since the 1800s and has something like 1,500 members. For scale, we have about 600 members. When I walked in, I was warmly welcomed by their female pastor, which was pretty cool, and their very friendly greeters. And I saw multiple symbols of different faiths and science, the words of poetry on the walls. I saw the rainbow LGBTQ flag. I saw people mingling about and drinking coffee and chatting with each other. And when the service started, I honestly can't tell you what the preacher's message was. But I remember being in awe because I felt grateful to finally have found a community where I could be fully myself with my questions and my doubts, not having to worry about being berated for my illness, still getting all the wonderful parts of a faith community, support, singing, thought-provoking messages, prayer, love. And I remember that morning that I had two very distinct and overwhelming feelings that washed over my heart. The first feeling was relief. Oh my gosh, you exist. This is real. I could be part of this beautiful thing called Unitarian Universalism. And I've heard many of you say a similar story the first time you came into this place. But the second feeling that washed over me quickly on the heels of relief was anger. Anger. I looked around the building, filled to the brim with people, 1,500 members, and I was like, where the hell have you people been? Why are you not on my campus? Why did I have to accidentally stumble upon you on the internet? Why am I being wounded by my current faith community, and you are here happily mingling with your coffee, and you could be telling people that you exist and saving lives? I was mad. Now, I was lucky. I found Unitarian Universalism by accident at the age of 20. Many of you were much older. Some people never find us. Not because they don't want to find us, but because we're really good at hiding ourselves. Now, I also need to name another truth. Not everyone who learns about Unitarian Universalism is going to be a UU. We have a saying amongst ourselves. I think Andrew might have used it. They're a UU, they just don't know it. And this statement is sometimes true, often funny, but also kind of the height of hubris. We're so amazing that everyone is going to want to be one of us. Not always. But this might be true in some cases, but not all. Not everyone is going to find us appealing. That's fine. We're not everyone's cup of tea or coffee. But that's where we get into the difference between evangelism and proselytizing. Evangelism, as I mentioned, is sharing our faith, sharing about the fellowship, telling people for crying out loud that we exist, that you like us, that there's something to be gained from being a part of a community like this one, whatever it is that you love. Maybe it's the music, the religious education program for our children, the sermons, the friends, the coffee, whatever. Something that you love, you can share with other people. Now, proselytizing, on the other hand, is about conversion. It's trying to convince someone that yours is the right religion. This word and this concept also come to us from the Christian tradition, and it's historically about saving souls. Now, remember that our own tradition, our own Unitarian Universalist tradition, in part, emerged out of universalism. Remember that that said that everyone, regardless of their actions and their beliefs, that everyone would be saved and go to heaven. And so since that is our heritage, we have a theological reason why we don't proselytize. We don't need to. We don't need to save anyone from a real or imagined hell. Now, I want to pause here and acknowledge that for many of us, proselytizing has happened to us. It has been, if someone has tried to proselytize to you, it has been at best uncomfortable, and at worst, for some of us, harmful, very harmful. And I just honor that. But I also want to acknowledge that from the perspective of the person doing the proselytizing, that their intent isn't to harm. Now, I say this not to minimize the harmful impact. My sermon last week was entirely on the importance of impact over intent, so I don't want to undo everything I said last week. But still, I find it easier to have compassion rather than anger when I think about the intent behind proselytizing. When I was a youth leader at a UU church many years ago in Memphis, Tennessee, the high school youth, were frustrated because kids at school were always proselytizing to them. They were always trying to save them. And the kids would come to our youth group and they would be frustrated by this. And I came up with a metaphor that seemed to help them. So here is that metaphor. Imagine you're standing on the curb with some people by a street, and someone in the group steps into the street and they don't see a bus barreling toward them. What would you do in that moment? The bus is barreling toward this person, they have stepped into the street and they don't see the bus coming. You might shove them, right, out of the way of the bus. So imagine you do that. They go flying, they land on their other side of the street, they bang up their arm, and now you've saved them from the bus. It's gone. They missed it in the midst of their being pushed and falling down. And now they're mad at you. Why did you shove me? And you try to explain about the bus. People who are proselytizing see a bus that we don't believe in. They're trying to save us from what they believe to be a terrible fate, usually damnation and hell. Now, of course, to us, it feels like being shoved. So I say all of this as an aside, just to try to remove some of the sting of proselytizing. Take it or leave it. Take that metaphor or leave it, whatever is useful to you. Like I said, the impact can still feel yucky, but I try to remember that the intent is good so I don't get too upset. So Unitarian Universalists historically have not proselytized. We haven't needed to. It's not part of our DNA, and I don't suggest that we start now. We're not a shovey kind of people. It's not who we are. But we also have not evangelized. And this is a shame. There are people out there who could really use our life-saving message of communities of people filled with similar aspirations, goals, principles, with a wide diversity of theology, life experiences, identities, and beliefs about the world. People who could use our message of reverence and doubt, where we sing and hug and encourage and support each other in times of sorrow and need and joy, where we share coffee and tea and cookies and pizza, where we challenge each other to be our best selves in this life that we have for certain, that we know we have. And we try to make the world the best place it can be, where we love our neighbors, where we try to rid the world of hell, not in some afterlife, but in the ways that it is real on earth, in prisons, in racism, in illness, isolation, and injustice. Sharing our faith need not be pushy. It can be organic, it can be friendly, it can be easygoing, and you never know who might need it more than you could imagine. May it be so. Amen.